Good morning. Good morning. Beautiful day here in Fairhaven, Wednesday. The mayor will be here in the next hour. This hour, whatever's on your mind, in particular, I'd like to talk about migration, immigration. The president made some statements about it recently. In fact, it's the reason, let's face it, the president was elected, was to counteract all the craziness that the Democrats had instituted, right? From flying them right into Logan Airport to housing them in the Healy hotels, right down to all the other things that have happened with the migrants, the illegal aliens. It's a huge gray area in some cases. It's not so gray, right? It's clear. Millions of people came into the country. Millions came into the country. So if you want to talk about that, it's 508-996-0500. Play a little clip here from the CBS Evening News with the president talking about what he's doing about migration, immigration. Now, before I play it, I just want to say, America needs immigration. I mean, I know a lot of people, a lot of my friends immigrated legally to the country. And they are great Americans who make America better. Many of the medical doctors that I've encountered, some of the people I spent Thanksgiving with, are legal immigrants to the country, right? My family got here a long, long time ago. And I was born here like many of you. Certainly America needs immigrants. But you got to treat them on an individual basis, in my opinion. In my opinion. All right. Here is CBS News, a quick clip, and then we'll go from there.
It was President Trump who announced the death of Specialist Beckstrom, one of the Guard's members he had put on crime patrol in Washington. Hours later, he announced a further crackdown on immigration. CBS News has learned it includes a pause on all asylum decisions. Weijia Jiang is in West Palm Beach, Florida.
President Trump announced he would permanently pause migration from, quote, third world countries. He is also threatening to revoke U.S. citizenship from foreign-born Americans who undermine domestic tranquility and calling for a review of all green card holders from 19 countries of concern, including Iran, Venezuela, and Afghanistan.
When you let the people come in by the thousands and thousands and thousands, they made a terrible mistake.
As the Afghan war came to a chaotic end in 2021, a program called Operation Allies Welcome allowed more than 76,000 Afghan nationals into the United States. Many of them, including the shooting suspect, had worked with the U.S. CBS News' Nancy Cordes asked President Trump about that.
He was vetted, and the vetting came up clean.
He went cuckoo. I mean, he went nuts. And that happens, too. It happens too often with these people. You see them. But look, this is how they come in. This is how they're standing on top of each other.
The Department of Homeland Security says it will be reviewing all asylum cases approved under the Biden administration. Sean Van Diver is an advocate for Afghan migrants.
My number one concern is that all these 195,000 Afghans that came here during the last administration are going to be painted with the brush of this man.
A DHS official tells CBS News the suspect's asylum case was approved under the Trump administration earlier this year.
When it comes to asylum, when they're flown in, it's very hard to get them out.
And Weijia Jiang joins us now. So the president just announced a new plan to reverse the majority of executive orders under former President Joe Biden. Did he say why?
Because he was nuts. He was.
That's right, Tom. President Trump says he is canceling all the executive orders signed by former President Biden that were used with an auto pen instead of his hand. Trump claimed without evidence that Biden was not involved when an auto pen was used, and he threatened that if Biden claims he was, he will face charges of perjury. Biden has repeatedly addressed attacks on his use of the auto pen, insisting that he made the decisions when it came to executive orders, pardons, and legislation. Tom.
Weijia Jiang, we know you'll stay on top of things. Weijia, thank you.
So
it was President Trump who announced the death of Specialist Beckstrom.
That's CBS. You can see that whole clip if you'd like on. It's actually, that was the whole clip, but you can see more of that online, obviously, CBS. So that correspondent who's, you know, put that little editorial in without evidence, I think most of you, many of you anyway, know that there have been depositions going on for months now. 4 months there have been depositions going on. People have been subpoenaed in. Some have been voluntarily come in to avoid a subpoena from House committees and Senate committees, right? And they take depositions. They were asking to include Binder. Remember her? Joe Biden's press secretary. They called her Binder because she had the binder. She'd have to flip to the next page. Katrina, was that her name? I forget now. She had been a CNN employee, and then she became the spokesperson for the Biden administration. She was deposed. So was Ron Klain and all kinds of other high-ranking people, Nina Dunn, in the administration. And it's not a good picture for Joe Biden. That is why when she says without evidence, CBS reporter, there's a ton of evidence that Joe Biden didn't know what was going on. The fact that the Democrats threw him off the ballot, right? The fact that the Democrats threw him off the ballot and put his vice president in, it's all the evidence you really need to know that the guy was not all there. He really wasn't. All right. How do you feel about President Trump reversing all the executive orders and pardons of Joe Biden that were done by the auto pen? And how do you feel about him pausing immigration from questionable countries? I mean, there is no doubt that some of these countries do not have any records on the people that are fleeing the country, nor do we trust the governments. Why would Iran give us the real information about Iranian citizens coming to America? They wouldn't do that. They haven't been on normal relations with us since 1979. Right? When they took our hostages. Think about Afghanistan, the Taliban, and those governments over there. There are no governments in some of these countries. She can't really trust them. So I don't know how a lot of the vetting is done. Now, let me say this as well. I generally supported the Afghan program, because I believe they were going to vet these people. They fought with us, in many cases, against the Taliban. And before that, against the Russians. Let's not forget that. Many of these people from Afghanistan fought alongside Americans on behalf of American interests against the communists in Afghanistan. But as President Trump says, some of them go cuckoo. So we got to deal with that. We really do. And I think putting a pause is a good idea. It's a good idea. Now, the New Bedford Police Union is asking you for your support while they negotiate for a fair contract for better education and training programs for their officers, new police equipment and technology, and for safe police staffing levels. They cannot do this alone. Please support public safety and your brave New Bedford police officers while they keep this great city safe. For more information, visit the New Bedford Police Union Facebook page and the website at newbedfordpoliceunion.org. newbedfordpoliceunion.org. This message is brought to you by the brave men and women of the New Bedford Police Union. All right, I'm going to take a break. If you'd like to call me, you can. 508-996-0500. And stick around. We'll be right back.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Welcome back to the program. A little Who There for you. I'm Chris McCarthy, and you're the audience. talking about President Trump pausing immigration, migration into the country. Look, maybe some of you don't agree with me on this, but I think immigration is very important to the country. The right immigrants, right? The right people. It's funny, having dinner recently, Thanksgiving, really, with a guy who immigrated to the country. He's a member of a labor union and works on a lot of construction projects in Cambridge and Boston. He's an immigrant to the country. Now, he's a citizen now. Raised a number of children here in the country, has a wife, they own property. And he was saying to me, the idea that the country is not going to be able to build anything more if we don't have immigrants, is wrong. He said a lot of, and again, it's an individual thing, but this is a experienced laborer, member of a union, telling me this, and an immigrant, by the way, that many of the latest immigrants to the country, the new ones, they have no skills, and that they need tremendous supervision. Otherwise, you can't get anything done. And that's just the way it is. So he said the idea that without opening the floodgates, America's going to halt, he found to be ridiculous. And this is a guy who is an immigrant, today a citizen, property owner, and a union member on construction sites, observing all this. And then earlier in the week, at lunch, a friend of mine who's very big in the construction industry, and he said to me that when it comes to Central Americans, as an example, they don't have the kind of construction standards and materials that we have here. So, yeah, you can get them to do, like, carrying things, right? You want to carry bricks or forms, things like that, around on a job site. Yeah, fine. You can use Central and South American labor, new labor to the country. But they need tremendous supervision. And when it comes to doing more work, more detailed work, more experience, more skilled labor, they're absolutely useless because they don't use the kind of construction materials in Central and South America, but certainly Central America, that we use here in the United States. That they have no familiarity with a lot of the techniques and skills that American workers have. So, again, I know there's a lot of people out there that have very little contact with the construction industry. I'm not one of them. I have a lot of contacts within the labor force, within the ownership class of the construction industry. And, again, it's an individual basis. And like I've said to you earlier, I'm very familiar with doctors and nurses in the medical field who've immigrated to the country. whether they got their education overseas or more likely here in the United States. They are valuable people. But let's not compare a nephrologist, right, with someone picking fruit, which could be done by a machine, right? I mean, there are different levels of immigration. And America needs immigrants. But we do not need unvetted waves of workers and non-workers, quite frankly, coming across the border, unvetted, running around. I really don't think we do. I know the people that do, and that's the ones that want to prop up the census. But like, and as I've said, I really enjoy the New Bedford Lead. I think they provide a valuable service. One of the things I like to point out, though, is they use the word immigration, I think, too broadly. They should do whatever they want, quite frankly, like I do. But when you read immigration, sometimes you have to look a little deeper. Because it's illegal immigration, right? I mean, nobody who works in a medical clinic as a doctor, nurse, specialist, who immigrated to the country, of which I work with a number of, they work on me, he's worried about ICE coming and grabbing them. It's just not the way it is. It's just not the way it is. And a lot of the people in the left-wing propaganda outfits need to realize that you're losing credibility when you try to brainwash people in a way that is not genuine, right? Not genuine. As if brainwashing ever is genuine. I don't know. 508-996-0500. What do you think of President Trump's latest attempts at national security? Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Very good. Very good. This is a fascinating topic because there's like a vast difference between illegal alien laborers in the Northeast and where I'm at in South Carolina. As an example, my county, which is about the same size as Bristol County, maybe Bristol County is a little bit smaller, but Spartanburg County put 4,400 new homes in this year since January. 4,400. So you imagine even in Bristol County, if you doubled the size of it, where would you find the land to put in 4,400 single family homes? Actually, it's single family and townhouses. So those are kind of the connected ones. But the labor down here is mostly illegal aliens. But what's funny is, and I've talked to a lot of the guys that run the job sites in these developments, is the illegal aliens have to find places to work because they don't have the benefits here. They can't get the benefits here. It's pretty locked down. You can't just show up, you know, to the town hall and, you know, sign up for Medicaid, Medicare, and all the other stuff you can get up in Massachusetts.
Right.
People that are illegals are flooding to the places that give away this stuff, right?
Yes.
New York City, Boston, because they're giving it away. We saw, 2 years ago, all these people getting put into, you know, hotels and, you know, meals delivered. I remember that Jess Machado was covering this one that was in Somerset, and they were delivering meals from Boston because the people were from Jamaica and they wanted Jamaican specific food, and it was being DoorDashed from Boston to Somerset.
I remember.
And delivered three times a day.
She did tremendous work on that.
Yeah, and down here it's different because they don't have that. So you have these jefes that, so like there's like these whole homes go up like in a very short amount of time. You have a cement crew with a jefe, and the jefe trains the young guys how to do what they have to do. And then there's the more experienced people that are slapping the young guys in the back of the head. And so they do get trained pretty quickly in how to construct homes, but they're in a squad because it's different than up to the Northeast, where, because you don't have these big developments, but you have as good, you know, single family homes. They're probably 500 to a million or $2 million homes. And that's a different type of construction than down here, but all I'm trying to say is, I guess the contrast is that they are training these guys into the specifics, the roofers, the cement people, the framers, the insulation people, the guys that wrap the houses and do the siding. And they all come in like a squad. They're not the same not the same company, but they come in, they do their work, then they're gone off to the next house. And seems like the jefes train them really well, and they keep a tight stick on what they're doing. And these guys are working in the rain 7 days a week over the holidays. I'm actually kind of amazed at the work ethic, but they don't have an option. I mean, they have to work because there is no free handout down here at all.
How quick does it take him to put a house up?
Brand new house from scratch.
Yeah.
I would say 2.5 months.
Okay.
It's very fast because they have a methodology. They deliver the wood, all the framing, roofing all at one time. And it's really like clockwork. They could tighten it up. It would be shorter time for sure. But I think in the, 2.5 months from, scraping the lot to having a roof on and ready to move in. Yeah.
So let me ask you a question. Are these, how much of these houses retailing? You said they put up 4,400 homes.
Yep.
In a county. Yeah.
In a county. But a county is about Bristol County plus 30% size wise.
I mean, I'm familiar with Spartanburg. I know that's the Milliken family is a big family down there, right?
Oh, okay, yeah, for sure.
Yep.
Houses start here at 215.
Okay.
So 1,400 square feet or 1,200 square feet, 215. You know, you're up, if you get into 2,000 square feet, which is the common size up in, for a ranch, like a raised ranch up there or Cape or something, you're looking at just under three, 3,000 square feet, beautiful home, 5-bedroom, 3.5 bath. You're at just under four.
That beats up crazy. Here, right? Up here, that'd be about $1 million now.
Easily $1 million.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. But, you're in a community. It's not like you have an acre, 2 acres, or 3 acres, or whatever. So if you want to go to that, you could add 50,000 to that. You could buy your own piece of land. You could, there's two or three home companies that will contract for you. Like they have homes set up that you can come in, model homes. You walk in and they're all in a 3-acre lot and check them out and whatever plan you want. They come in and build on your land, and land starts at 5,000. Well, let's say 10,000 an acre, something like that.
Okay. 10,000 an acre.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, my friend, always good to hear from you. I'm glad you're enjoying South Carolina. Yeah. Spartanburg. That's the Milliken family, which came out of Connecticut originally, is a big family down there. Big in the textile industry. Visa Fabrics. Many of us have rugs in our homes and offices made by the Milliken family. All right. So you got to get your windshield fixed. How are you going to do it? It's dangerous to have a cracked windshield. You know that, particularly as we come into the cold weather, the wet, cold weather. So get it fixed. Call Citywide Glass. They're located in Fall River and Dartmouth. Call them up. Make an appointment. Or you can go online, citywideglass.net. Make an appointment. Here's the best part. Probably won't cost you anything out of your pocket whatsoever. All insurance is accepted. And they'll come right to you. Citywide Glass has a mobile tech team that will come right out to your home or your work parking lot and fix that windshield. They'll fix all glass on your car, really. So make an appointment today. You can do it by phone, calling Citywide Glass in Fall River, Citywide Glass in Dartmouth, or go online, citywideglass.net. Don't forget to fix that windshield. It's dangerous. It's unsightly. I'm going to take a break, and then we'll be right back. Stick around.
This portion of programming on WBSM brought to you by South Coast Health, Advanced Medicine, more.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. Boy, it is beautiful out there today. Remember, the mayor will be joining us at 11 o'clock. If you want to call him, you can at 508-996-0500. Talking about the president's change in immigration policy. And I think it's important to remember what has triggered, no pun intended, this updating policy regarding migration, immigration, asylum. And that is the death of Sarah Beckstrom, a West Virginia National Guard soldier, killed by a terrorist in Washington, D.C. And, of course, the near-fatal injury of another National Guardsman, Andrew Wolf, who's hanging on. Yesterday, I saw some updates on Andrew Wolf, who I've asked all of you to pray for, and I know you're doing it, as I am, for a, well, I guess speedy recovery is out of the question now, but at least a full recovery for Andrew Wolf of West Virginia, great patriot, because he's making progress, according to what I'm seeing on the national news. Andrew Wolf is responding to medicine and our prayers. So please continue praying for Andrew Wolf. Now, here's another clip of the president and what's going on in the country regarding immigration, triggered by the terrorist attack in Washington, D.C. on two of our soldiers. And a whole lot of other stuff, let's be honest, that's gone on around the country since Joe Biden took office after the election a number of years ago now, right? Then he opened the floodgates, and we were told, oh, there's nothing you can do about it till we pass some comprehensive legislation. One election, Donald Trump shut the border down. Nobody's coming in anymore. You don't see anybody flocking into the Healy hotels. All that is over. No change in law, simply a change in personalities in the executive branch. Sometimes that's all it really requires. To open the border, all we needed was a change in personality. Put a Democrat in there. They open the border. Put a Republican in, they close the border. Well, a Trump Republican, they close the border. You don't need a bunch of laws. None of that. Even though we had local Democrats insisting we got to have new policies, new laws, none of that was needed. There has been not a single change in law. All policy and people are policy. And back to the news.
Washington, the border is essentially declared closed to immigrants wanting to come into the United States. And tonight, there are growing concerns for tens of thousands of people already here who thought they were on the right path. As national correspondent Christine Frizzell shows us, they too may be facing deportation.
A permanent pause on asylum. With new hints, the aggressive crackdown on immigration in this country is now reaching new heights.
The Trump administration issued a travel ban for 19 countries, including Afghanistan. Special immigrant visas, which is a legal pathway to get here, which we know many Afghans have utilized to come into the country, have now been paused since the tragic shooting last week.
Following the shooting of two National Guard members in Washington, allegedly by an Afghan national, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services Director Joe Edlow announced he's directed a rigorous re-examination of every green card for those coming from every country of concern. President Donald Trump has singled out 19 he believes pose a threat to national security, or at the very least aren't set up to share good information on their residents.
These third world nations, they don't have systems like we do. And we're going to count on the people that run Afghanistan, the Taliban, to provide us any information who the bad guys were or who the good guys are? Certainly not.
While the suspect in last week's shooting came into the country through a program called Operation Allies Welcome, meant to help those who helped the U.S. in Afghanistan, and was vetted, some experts question how fully he and the thousands of others' backgrounds are being investigated once they're here.
When we say they were vetted by the CIA, that means they were vetted to do operational work in a war zone. They weren't vetted to become residents of the United States.
So that's a retired CIA officer that's speaking right now. So he understands the stuff. But I'll go back. If you're on hold, stay there. I'll go back to the clip in a second.
AIDS or move to suburbia somewhere.
Some critics, though, denouncing the decision to punish thousands of people for the evil acts of one or two.
These are individuals who worked side by side with America in the fight against the Taliban. And if
that's
they were
Democrat,
sent back
by the way.
Now, the Taliban.
So that's Senator Chris Van Hollen from Maryland. Now, many of you are familiar with Senator Van Hollen because he's the one who flew down to El Salvador to have margaritas with an illegal alien, alleged domestic violence perpetrator. Remember the Maryland dad? This is his senator. Well, not really his senator, but certainly the guy who really took a keen interest in him. Have you ever met with a U.S. senator? Have you? I've talked to a couple. And I'm in a unique position because I'm in the media. Most of us are never going to have a conversation, certainly a private one, over drinks with a U.S. senator. But the illegal alien who'd been arrested for human trafficking and domestic violence and was deported to his home country of El Salvador had a private meeting with this Democrat senator. Kind of crazy, right? You don't have that kind of access. I guarantee it. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how you doing?
Thank you, I'm well. And remember, he did it on our dime.
And may likely kill them.
Might execute him.
The Trump and...
He flew to El Salvador on our dime.
Yes,
but
he did.
But there's more. There's more. And that is the Somalis. They estimate now somewhere in the trillions, at least billions of dollars that they've stolen from the United States by taking illegal welfare.
It's amazing, isn't it? And it's just been going on.
We have an election coming up. We have an election coming up, and Markey's on the line. Now, you might not have Markey in your district. You don't, right? You don't have Markey in your district.
No, we all do, because he's our state. Oh, he's our U.S. Senator.
He's a peach. He's a peach. He doesn't even live in Massachusetts, number one, and he hasn't for a long time. The guy's never really held a job after his ice cream truck job. I mean, this guy is... he hasn't seen a program. He hasn't seen any kind of spending that he doesn't love. And please, the guy that's going up against him, I can't even remember his name.
John Deaton.
Well, you've got
Seth Moulton in the primary right now, Congressman yeah. Seth Moulton. And
yeah,
then you've got
Seth
John
Moulton
Deaton, the Republican.
A joke. He's a joke. But if you can... Go and get into that primary. If you're unregistered, go and get into that primary and vote for Seth Moulton. Okay? And the reason for that is because Markey's poll numbers are much higher right now. And we don't need him. He's been sucking off of us for a long, long time. He's a very wealthy man now. He's a very old man. And he has very old and tired ideas. Let's get rid of him. Let's change. Because I took a border wall tour.
Okay.
From South Padre Island in Texas all the way to San Diego. Quite the eye-opener.
How did you do that? Was it by boat or by plane? How'd you do it?
So we flew down to... We flew down to South Padre, my wife and I.
Okay.
And then we took a boat across Lake McClellan.
Yep.
In Texas. By the way, you've never seen more Border Patrol on water than there. And then we continued our road trip all the way to San Diego. There's a road that goes right along the wall. We never got bothered. We were... there were people there. I mean, but once they stopped us the first time, they knew who we were.
Okay.
And so we got to California. In California, instead of having big iron fences, the border wall is an iron fence and tall. And you're not going to get a ladder over it. Okay. And it's on the U.S. side, so they have the opportunity to ride the patrol vehicles on the Mexican side of the wall, which is a big help. But as soon as you get to California, no more iron, just fences.
Hmm.
That's it, just fences. But I'll tell you one other thing. And that this. Sure.
What year was that, you roughly, that you were there on that border wall?
A couple of years ago, two
okay.
years.
Okay.
It was when people were coming over like crazy, and we were in a. I want to say one more thing before
yeah,
I don't tell you this last story. So, in California, there's an overlook looking over the water, and there was a military helicopter just literally parked in the air, maybe 100 feet. Over the water. So remember when they used to say, "Oh, but if you have a fence, they'll just go around." No, they're not going around. They're not going around anywhere unless they like 50 calibers. And the very last thing sure. is, I'm sorry, you said something, and I wanted to go back to it.
The primary.
No, it was a border fence thing.
Sure.
But in any case,
okay.
You know, this state is as close to the border, it's actually closer to the border than many of the border states down there. In Massachusetts, we still have hundreds, if not thousands, of people here, unvetted, taking our money.
Yes.
Every single solitary week, every single solitary day.
Yep. The governor's hidden them.
And this is Maura Healey.
Yep.
Maura Healey is another one. She's one of the most popular governors in all of Massachusetts. All of the United States.
I question that, though. Thank you for the call, my friend. Don't be a stranger. I want you to call back certainly tomorrow. We have the mayor at 11 o'clock. I'm going to take a break, and then we'll be back. I really question how popular Maura Healey really is. And I understand the drumbeat of the Democrats saying that, but I'm not sure. Anyway, we'll stick around. We'll be right back.